Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing teaching from an album that I've entitled Lessons from the Christmas Story. There's four teachings in here, and it's taking some of the things that are very familiar and that people talk about a lot during this time of the year and just taking from lessons from it that we can apply at any time of the year. It doesn't have to be just to be setting a mood for a certain time of the year, but man, there are some powerful, powerful things to learn from all of the events surrounding the birth of Jesus. And so yesterday we were talking about from Luke chapter 1, where the angel Gabriel appeared unto Zacharias as he was going about his duties as a priest. And I took a number of lessons from that. We've already talked about that. But one of the things you need to do is you need to be busy doing what God has given you to do. It may be considered by you as mundane things, but you know what? You look back in the Bible and see the people that God really used and appeared to, and He always appeared to them as they were going about their normal activities. I think that this whole concept of withdrawing into a monastery and just somehow or another being in a place where you were doing nothing, God's not looking for people like that. God's looking for people who are busy doing what they know to do, and yet at the same time recognizing there's more and praying and seeking God. But you need to be about what God has given you to do and just be faithful with what He's called you to do. As a matter of fact, I made this point yesterday that Zacharias was just doing his course. The priests were divided into 24 courses, so each course had 2 weeks worth of duty in the temple. And among all of the people that were in that course, they would draw lots and they would decide who would go into the temple that day. And he was in the temple doing what God had called him to do. I made mention of that. And look at this down in Luke chapter 1. I'm skipping down a few verses. And after he came out and he couldn't talk, he motioned to the people. Then it says in verse 23, it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And then he talked to Elizabeth, and then he had relations with Elizabeth. She conceived, and of course, John the Baptist was born. But notice it says that after the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed. Now think about this. He had just had an encounter with Gabriel, one of the most powerful angels of God, the one that appeared unto Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, the one that appeared unto Mary later and announced the birth of Jesus. Man, this was a miraculous encounter with God. His prayer of decades was answered. He had just had an encounter with God. He was struck dumb. And all of these things, did you know most people would have just completely forsaken their responsibilities? They would have been gone, boom, because man, I've had an encounter with God, and they would have thrown everything else aside. He continued and finished out his obligation to his priesthood. In other words, you could say it this way, he finished his job. If you were to have an encounter with the Lord on the job, and Gabriel appeared unto you and gave you an answer to prayer that you'd been seeking for years. Did you know there's a lot of people that I guarantee you'd have stopped right then. You'd have gone home if it cost you your job. Whatever it did, you didn't care. You had heard from God. Boom, you're gone. Zacharias was faithful to finish what God had given him to do. And even after this miraculous encounter with the Lord, the greatest news that he had ever had in his life, he fulfilled his obligation, and then he went home. And remember, he couldn't call his wife, Elizabeth, on the phone. He couldn't text her. He couldn't get on the internet and share it. You know what? For days, maybe up to 2 weeks, he just sat on what God had spoken unto him and waited until his job was done, and then he went home. What this says about Zacharias and Elizabeth were that they were faithful people, and this is one of the reasons that God answered their prayers and all of this happened. You know, God doesn't move in any of our life because we deserve it. Nobody, I don't care, at our very best, none of us deserve all of the things of God. But there are things that we can do that hinders God using us. And unfaithfulness is one of those things that hinders God. If Zacharias was the type of person that wasn't faithful, you know what? He probably wouldn't have ever made the priesthood. He probably wouldn't have ever been chosen to be one of those that went into the temple. And none of these things would have happened. There are things that you can do that position you to be able to receive a miracle from God. These are some of the lessons that we can learn from this. And sometimes this gets hidden in the text, especially when we read this, just for the sake of creating a mood, and we read it as just a sweet little story about the birth of Jesus. You need to look at some of these things and recognize that this man that Gabriel appeared to was a man who was faithful. Now, he struggled with some unbelief and he had some problems just like all of us do. But yet this man was faithful and he fulfilled his duties before he took this powerful message that he had from Gabriel home to his wife. I tell you, that's powerful. That's one of the lessons that you can gain from this Christmas story. And at the end of yesterday's program, I was talking about in verse 17 how that Gabriel quoted, or he didn't quote it, but he referred back to Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, where it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And he referred to that in Luke chapter 1, verse 17. It says, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So notice in Luke 1:17, Gabriel here talked about the people had to be prepared for the Lord. Malachi chapter 4 in verse 6, it says, "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse." And over in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, it says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And those are scriptures that John the Baptist quoted as saying that they were his instructions that were given to him out of the Old Testament. So all of these things say that the John the Baptist mission was to prepare the way for the Lord. You know, if you're going to plant seed, you just don't throw seed out there on the ground. It could land on a rock and it'd never germinate. The birds of the air will come and eat it away. What you do, you prepare the ground. You dig out the rocks, you get rid of the weeds, you make furrows, you plant the seed in a hole and then you cover it over. You know what you're doing? You're preparing the ground. And I can guarantee you, if you prepare the ground, you get a much greater harvest. More of your seed will germinate and it will grow and produce better fruit if the ground is prepared. All of this is saying that John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. And it says in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, that if he didn't get the job done, if he didn't come and prepare it, then the Lord could come and smite the earth with a curse. Of course, Jesus was a blessing. And I've never heard anybody else say this, and I don't honestly know all of the ramifications of what I'm saying. But I'm saying, based on this prophecy, it was the instructions to John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord, lest he come and smite the earth with a curse. If John the Baptist had not fulfilled his mission, if he hadn't have turned all of the nations to the Lord, and as you read the New Testament, you'll find out that not only the Jews, but all of the lands round about Idumea and all of these different countries are mentioned. And it says that the people came out by the thousands, the tens of thousands, and their heart was turned and they were in expectation about the coming of a Messiah. If John hadn't have caused, in what we would call today's vernacular, a revival, and have brought all of these people and have prepared their heart, instead of the blessing that we now know from Scripture about what Jesus did and how he came and died for our sins and redeemed us from the curse of the law and all of these things and reconciled us unto God. Instead of that, it could have been different. I don't understand this. And again, you're getting into some things that I don't have the ability to explain. This raises questions that doesn't fit nicely into a box, and so most people just don't go there. I know that theologians basically say everything is predestined and predetermined, and there were certainly plenty of prophecies in the Old Testament about what Jesus did. But also, this is a prophecy, and it said that if this messenger that came in the spirit and the power of Elias didn't come and prepare the people, then the Lord could have smitten the earth with a curse. It could have been totally different. So I don't know what all the theological ramifications of this are, but here's my point in bringing all of this up, that John the Baptist was critical to the plans of Jesus coming to this earth and purchasing us and redeeming us from our sins and doing all of the things that he did. And I think that sometimes we miss this. People just have this impression that God can do whatever he wants and that it takes zero effort on his part. But this shows that John the Baptist came and prepared the hearts of the people. For one thing, John the Baptist drew these huge crowds after him. And it took him a period of time to draw these people from all of these different nations, and they were coming and they were sitting under John's teaching and they were wondering if he was the Messiah. And then when Jesus showed up and was water baptized, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," which is a very significant terminology. And it was used specifically to show that Jesus was the sacrifice, that he would be sacrificed for the sins of the people, referring back to the sacrificial system of the Old Testament law. "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And he sent his own disciples after Jesus. Two of John's disciples were Peter and Andrew. And they were disciples of John the Baptist, and yet John sent them after Jesus. And so John drew this whole crowd, and Jesus came on the scene and boom, immediately like that, already had the attention of people because John the Baptist had already prepared the way. You can see that Jesus even used this same kind of an approach. He sent his disciples out two by two into every town that he was planning on entering into. And you know what they did? They came and announced that Jesus is coming. They told about the miracles. They prepared the people's hearts. So Jesus used this. Jesus didn't just walk in cold turkey into every situation, but he sent his disciples before him because it increased the response. You know, this is something that I'm learning. I'm not saying that I've learned it yet, but I'm in the process of learning it. I remember going to a man's meetings. I won't mention the man's name, but he was famous for having revival meetings and, just people catching on fire from God. And there was miraculous and unusual manifestations, different things happening in this man's meetings. And so anyway, I'd heard about it. Some friends of mine, he was coming to their church in their town. I decided I would go stay with them. And I went to this man's meetings. And one of the things that I observed, for the first five services that he held, he never preached. You know what he did? He had people that traveled with him. Well, first of all, there's a number of things. One of the things, he would only go to a church and minister if the pastor of that church had already been to his meetings, had already received an impartation of this fire and of this revival, and had gone back to his church and shared it with him. So you know what? By making that decision that he would only go to places where the pastor had already been impacted by his ministry and had shared it with the church, you know what that was doing? It was preparing those people for his ministry. And then when he got there, he probably had 100 people that he paid for out of his pocket that came to the meetings who had been transformed in other meetings, and they would stand up and they would give testimonies and they would talk about what God had done in their life. And by doing that, it built the expectation of the people. And because of this, I watched this. I was at the first five services he held. He never preached. He just had testimonies. He had the pastor get up, other people. He talked about things. He encouraged the people. He talked about what was going to happen. but he never preached. Now, he stayed there for weeks, and eventually he did get to where he started preaching, but I'm saying he prepared the people. Now, this could be done to an extreme, and I'm not saying that this man I'm talking about, I didn't mention his name, but if you know who I'm talking about, I'm not saying that he did everything right. I don't know. He's not my servant. It's not my place to judge. But I did learn from that he prepared the soil before he planted the seed. He prepared the people. And you know what? I have been nearly to the other extreme. I have seen so much emotionalism. I've seen so much hype. I've seen so much manipulation of people that I'm nearly to the other extreme, that I just get up and start sharing the word, and I let the word do all of the work itself. And I think that as a whole, if I'm going to be to one extreme or the other, I'd rather be the way that I am. That's the reason I am the way that I am. But I'm also learning that, you know what, you need to encourage people and prepare people to be able to receive. And I've gotten to where at my meetings, you know, I'll have people that have had miraculous healings and things like this, and I'll often have them come up and give a testimony. And by sharing their testimony about what God has done for them, it prepares the hearts of the people, and it makes them more receptive. You know, if you just stand up and preach the word straight, there are people that have another doctrine that's contrary to what I'm saying, and so they immediately are in this deal of, which one am I going to accept? What makes your word, what makes your interpretation of Scripture better than this interpretation of Scripture? And they immediately doubt and question, and there's debate, and sometimes traditions and doctrines of man will totally void the word that I'm speaking. But if you have a person stand up and give a testimony, did you know there are very few people who are just, I mean, so hard-hearted that when a person testifies about something that happened to them miraculously, there's very few people that will just say, I believe they're lying. I believe that this whole thing's a fake. There's very few people that will just sit there and counter and be that hard-hearted. And so they will sit there and say, well, this person is saying that this is what happened to them. And you know what it does? It softens their heart. It prepares them so that when I come along and preach the word and say, this is how this miracle happened, this is how the power of God was manifest, it prepared and it made them easier to receive. It made them more receptive to what I'm saying. So I'm saying that I'm learning this same principle, that the way of the Lord has to be prepared. You know, on our television programs, we've used these testimonies. We've got, matter of fact, we just got through a couple of weeks of doing a Healing Journeys reunion where we had a lot of the people that have had these miraculous stories, and we've documented it through DVDs. We had them come back, and I interviewed them about what it's like and what kind of an impact this has made on their life years later. And you know why I do things like that? Because it brings this out of the realm of theory and just theology type of things. And here is a practical experience of people's lives that are changed. This is what it's done in their life. This is how this miracle has affected other people. And you know the reason I put those things on television? Because it prepares people's hearts and makes them more receptive to the gospel. I tell you, this is a lesson that every one of us can learn from. Because sometimes it takes a period of time. There has to be a preparation period of time. When I first got started ministering for the Lord, specifically witnessing to people, I wanted to plant the seed and see it spring and grow up and harvest the fruit just instantly like that. I didn't understand that some plant, some water, and some harvest. And I remember when I first got started, it seemed like that I was the one that was always planting. I would minister to people, but I very seldom reaped the harvest of it right away. But over the years, as I've grown in the Lord, I've come to realize that, you know what? Sometimes you just are sowing a seed. And if you try and harvest that seed too quickly, you know, it could be like a salesman. You go in and you present your product and then you just force them. You've got to make a decision right now. I want to have you either buy this product or reject it right now. There may be people who need some time to think about it. And if you were to give them time and not be so pushy, they might go ahead and buy your product. But you just want to have it right now. You want to close the sale. And did you know you can push people away with that? It's similar to like people that, you know, go out on a date. and you had a great time on the date, but then the guy proposes to her and wants her to marry him right then, that night. Well, that's just coming on a little too strong for most people, and most people wouldn't do that. It takes time to build relationship. It takes time to prepare the way and to prepare people's hearts so that they can receive. And I think that sometimes people don't understand that it takes time to prepare the way. But here's Jesus. If anybody ever had it all together in one package, it was Jesus. And yet Jesus needed John the Baptist to prepare the way before him. If Jesus needed his way prepared, if he needed the people's hearts softened so that they would be able to receive him, if he needed someone to go before him and draw the crowds and get everybody's anticipation up so that he could have the most impact, if Jesus needed things to be prepared before him, who do you think you are that you don't need preparation? And we need to recognize that, you know, God is using the labors of other people, maybe things that they've done for years, decades in the past that have brought you and have prepared things so that you could accomplish what it is that God has given you to do. We just need to recognize this, that none of us are a complete package in ourselves. We are all learning from each other, and we're preparing the way. There may be some people watching this program right now that, you know, this may be your first really encounter with God speaking to you through someone. And I may not reap all of the harvest of that. The fruit of it may not come today, but God is planting thoughts and showing you some things. And you're going to meditate on this, and the Holy Spirit's going to deal with you. And it may be a month or a week or a year in the future that something is harvested from this. But I've come to recognize that, you know, sometimes you're just preparing the way. Sometimes you're sowing the seed. Other times you're reaping a harvest. There are some of you watching this program that God has been dealing with you for years. And now, today, is the day that God is speaking to you and wanting to bring something forth out of this. And you recognize that, man, God is moving in your life. There are just powerful things to learn from these stories. And this is one of them, about that there is a preparation time, whatever it is. And I believe that the greater the thing that God is going to do through you, the more preparation it takes. You know, with me, the Lord called me, changed my life in 1968, and it was until 1999 that the Lord spoke to me and said, "You're just now starting your ministry," when I started on television January the 3rd, 2000. And the Lord prepared me for 31 years to do what I'm doing now. There was a preparation period of time. And these are some of the lessons that you can learn from this very story of John the Baptist's birth. Oh, this is powerful. You know, we're about out of time today, but I do want to encourage you that I've got this teaching entitled Lessons from the Christmas Story. And I promise you that you'll see things from a different perspective than what you've probably heard. Most people have just kind of got tunnel vision. They've heard all of the things surrounding the birth of Jesus in a way that it just, they don't get the full impact of it. I think that this teaching would be a real blessing to you. So I encourage you to listen as our announcer gives you the information about how you can get these materials, and call or write today, and then listen in again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
It's not just about buildings. It's about changing lives. In Matthew, Jesus told us to go and make disciples. That's what we do at Charis Bible College. We make disciples, who in turn make more disciples at home and around the world. In 1996, our first graduating class of 33 life changers walked the aisle and received their diplomas from CBC. To date, more than 960 men and women have graduated from our Colorado Springs campus, each a well-equipped, word-filled minister of God's love and grace. With more than 600 students enrolled for the 2011-2012 school year, Charis Bible College has grown to the point that our current campus is simply too small to meet our needs. Parking is at a premium. We're completely out of classroom space. There is no room for staff and faculty expansion. And we're still growing, as more and more people want to experience the life-transforming truth taught at CBC. So, where do we go from here? In 2009, God blessed us with a breathtaking tract of land in Woodland Park, Colorado, for literally pennies on the dollar. Architectural plans have been completed, and groundbreaking for the new Charis Bible College campus, The Sanctuary, is scheduled for March 23, 2012. Although the need for better, larger facilities is great, the need for your help and partnership to complete this faith-stretching endeavor is even greater. Our special partners in the Sanctuary Project, our foundation builders, are men and women of God who have joined hands with Andrew and Jamie, both financially and spiritually, to help build a firm Bible foundation in our CBC students. Remember, when you become a foundation builder, you're investing yourself in the lives of students who will literally take the gospel of Jesus Christ around the globe. You're changing countless lives every time you give of your prayers and your finances. If you'd like information on how you can become a foundation builder, log on to www.awmi.net. Click on Partnerships, then click on Foundation Builders, and begin changing lives today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Lessons from the Christmas Story is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Prepare the Way, free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith has been released in paperback. It's available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.